timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
Greetings. You are listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss. This is a radio show where we reclaim the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. Those things we sometimes stumble over when we try to explain how important and interesting they are. We have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Carolyn McKinley. She is a dream teacher. She's many things. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist who's been working counseling people for 25 years. She's studied a variety of alternative and cross-cultural healing practices, and she has graduated from my training, my three-year training for teachers of active dreaming. She is also a very fun person. So we're going to have a fun theme today, which is about how to use the techniques of active dreaming to have more fun in life and bring some more juice and joy to everyday living. Welcome, Carolyn.
Welcome. Thank you. It's so great to be here.
So let's start where dreamers like to start. Let me start by asking you if you have a dream you'd be willing to share, so maybe we can demonstrate our simple process of dream sharing. And actually, I have a short dream report from last night that I might share with you a bit later and get you to play my dream guide. Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so do you have a dream you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, a short one I had the other night. And I'm with my... Okay, so do you want me to go through the whole process?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm with my mother, and we're out by a river, and she goes and digs up a ring that has been buried about a foot and a half beneath the ground for some 30 years or more. And it's by some, it belongs to a man, I don't know who it is, but we're both really excited because it's not a random find. Somehow she knew exactly where to go excavate it. So when we pull it out, we take a look at it. It's a beautiful silver ring, kind of a hollow sterling silver, sort of Lord of the Rings kind of ring with inscriptions on it. And we look inside and we see a couple of words, which I can't make out except one word, which is Whitman, referring to the college I went to. And I was just surprised and delighted by that.
Wow. All right, let's do our process. Give the dream a title, please. What's the name for this dream?
I'm just going to call it Class Ring.
Class Ring. Okay, that's fine. And the first question we always ask around a dream is, what are your first feelings after the dream, your first feelings coming out of the dream? What were your first feelings?
Well, I was really curious about it because I asked for the dream the night before. I was doing an online dream course, and I wanted to ask... for some information about how that would go and what to bring into that training.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. But the feeling for now is eager, I mean, strong curiosity.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Reality check. You know, what's the situation with your mother in ordinary life?
I can't imagine that. I don't think we go by a riverbed anytime to go digging for rings.
Mm-hmm. But she's, so still this, she's still among the
she's
living.
She's still here on this side, yes.
Right. The scene of the river, the landscape, is that familiar to you in any way?
No, it's not.
The ring you think is associated with a man, is that what you said?
Yes.
You have any idea who that might be?
I do not.
Okay. And it's got this mythic Lord of the Rings quality, and yet there is something familiar incised on the ring, which is the name of your former college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that in the future, because we always ask about the future aspect of dreams, some of this could play out? I mean, could you literally find something that has been buried for 30 years, literally or metaphorically? I mean, is that possible that you'll find something that is of keen interest to you, even treasure-like or magic-like, that is from 30 years ago in your life? Is that possible?
I suppose it's possible. I did find some slides from about 30 to 40 years ago during the Thanksgiving holiday. So it's kind of metaphorically, I guess, but again, not necessarily literally in terms of digging up a ring like that.
Well, people, of course, do literally find rings and treasures in the earth in odd places. I mean, it's not absolutely impossible that, you know, one could find something like this in ordinary reality, even if that seems a long shot. Just very quickly, Whitman, is it possible that you will run into someone from the college, Whitman College, or someone named Whitman, that that name could come up in the future?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm still in contact with a lot of my friends from college.
Yeah, okay. All right. So tell us again, you set an intention for the dream, and when dreamers do that, we want to get clarity on the intention and then see how we can link the dream to the intention. So what intention did you set the night before the dream?
I just wanted a dream that would assist me the following day in doing my first online virtual training, actually teaching this very method, the Lightning Dreamwork method.
Okay, so you want guidance on your leading your own virtual course that you are leading, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Great,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so now we move to step three, and we're going to remind people of the four steps in the Lightning Dreamwork process when we finish this. We move to step three, which is that the friend, the helper, the guide, is allowed to say anything he or she likes as long as they begin by saying, if it were my dream, and owning their own projections and associations. So if it's my dream, I'm extremely juiced by the fact that I have found this treasure, and it seemed to have a mythic quality, and I think of all the things that go on when you find a ring of power or magic. Of course, it can invite challenges. Think of what happens to the hobbits when they find that ring that binds them all. So finding a ring of power can be a challenge as well as a gift. But I love the idea that something like this is available to me. It's very interesting to me that it is my mother, if I heard the dream correctly, who discovered the ring, and I'm going to think about her importance in my life, the elements in myself that are like my mother, and the sense in which either my mother, quite literally herself, or a part of me that has something deeply in common with my mother, may be the treasure finder, may be the one who finds the way. The locale of the river is very interesting. Did you have to cross the river, or were you just by the river?
No, we were just by the river.
You were just by the river. But, you know, this in itself is a very interesting environment for me. Time is flowing here. Is there also something here about a possible future river crossing? I'll leave that on one side for a moment. The name Whitman could take us in many directions. I mean, I have known people like Whitman. I don't know your college, but I think of Walt Whitman and Leaves of Grass and the splendid rolling poetry that came from the poet named Whitman. I think of lines from Whitman that have stuck with me, like, "You say I contradict myself. Very well, I contradict myself. I am vast. I contain multitudes." So I'm off now riffing on the dream, riffing on the river of the dream, the locale of the dream, with a poet whose approach, whose words are expansive and roll on and contain multitudes. And I'm thinking, binding it back to the intention, if it's my intention for guidance on a course I'm leaving, well, I'm there. And I'm there. I mean, I am holding magic. I can offer magic. I can offer this to other people. I have done this in part because of an ancestral or family connection. My mother in the dream could be my literal mother, but she could also be ancient mother in a sense, the eternal feminine, the divine feminine. And I'll think, as I carry this dream with me and leading my course, that one of the things that I will do is to help people do what my dream self seems to have accomplished, to find treasures, to find gifts for life that can go a long way back into a person's past. The figure of 30 years is fascinating to me. I've had great success in my own programs helping people who may have been dream-deprived and joy-deprived and juice-deprived in their lives to go back to a dream and experience from literally 30 years ago and bring back from that time in their life something that gives them juice and joy and courage today. So that 30 years for me has been a very significant time frame in terms of where people who've reached a certain age and stage in life might need to go to bring back soul, energy, joy, juice that has been lacking. So I'm juiced by this dream. I mean, I'm going to carry the energy of this dream. I'm going to think about people from Whitman College. And as I shape my action plan for the dream, I'm going to bear all these things in mind, including the idea that as I interact with people in the training I'm leading, let me be alert to where 30 years ago, 30 years back, or the age of 30, might be important in working with different people. So those are some loose suggestions for you, Carolyn. We always like to bring it into clarity with some kind of action plan. Perhaps you've already been acting on the guidance of the dream. So what action have you taken or will you now take based on this dream?
Well, I would love to find a ring like that.
Yes.
You know, a ring of power. And as you were talking, what flashed into my awareness is that 30 years ago, what was happening was when I was at Whitman College, and it's my senior year. I was a psych major, and they had a visiting professor come in, and he taught this class on Carl Jung and the unconscious. And this is where I did my final project, which consisted of painting a series of watercolor pictures of my dreams. And in one of those dreams, I dreamed of you, or at least when I look at the picture, it looks like you. There you are. There's a man. And again, I didn't know this person then, who it was, but it had the sense of a mentor. And so then I'm wondering, okay, here we are 30 years later, and we're talking about you visiting me back in the past, and now I've retrieved the dream, and now I'm stepping out and doing my dream work too. You know, so it feels like a full circle.
Just
like a ring.
What a wonderfully thrilling time loop, and of course it becomes one of my favorite kinds of dreams, one that features me, Carolyn. I love the idea that Robert might have turned up in your imagination and in your inner mentoring 20 years before you met him. I mean, we've known each other for 10 years or so now, so
yeah.
the number 30 can be revised. But in that story, in that time loop, which is quite fascinating in itself, there are also further ideas for an action plan. I mean, do you still make pictures from dreams in that way? Might you do a watercolor? And of course, you mentioned how you might go looking for the ring. So let's talk about current actions you might take. There might be clues in your past recollection, and you also said something about seeking the ring. So what are your action plans?
I'm quite fond of dream talismans.
Yeah.
And so I would, and even though I wear a silver ring, this one was very special. It was made out of this really light, like that elfin, just like you said, Lord of the Rings kind of ring. And so it would be fun for me to find one or even commission one from one of my dream buddies in my dream group. Makes jewelry, maybe that's something that I could do. But certainly in the meantime, before I could do something like that, is I will paint a picture of that. Also, just in honor of when, and I do believe that the connection holds true about dreaming this forward from that original seed dream 30 years ago. And it's kind of like when you think about something coming out of the ground, I planted the seed back then. And now we're harvesting it.
Yes.
And I guess if I would associate it with my mom, she never went to college. She never really stepped fully into her dreams. And so it's very symbolic that she would be giving that to me, digging it up for me and presenting that to me.
Still thinking about this is all great. I love the idea of making or finding or crafting a dream talisman. A talisman, one of the old meanings of the word talisman, which is originally Arabic, I believe, is something that you offer in sacred return, like a sacred payment. It also has the meaning of something that is of ceremony or consecration or of ritual. So there's a lot going on with that word. So when we find or make a dream talisman, in a sense, we are paying, returning gifts for the gift of the dream in ways that we can carry it with us. But talking about your mother, which is very moving to me to listen to, is one of your possible actions to tell the dream in some, you know, juicy, friendly way to your mother and give her the sense that she played some sort of heroic role in your life? Is that
possible? Yeah.
I just think if I were your mom, given the history you just gave us, I would probably be thrilled to bits to think that I'm the one who leads you to make this magical discovery. So if I'm your mom, I think I would just enjoy so much just hearing this dream, no discussion required, just hearing and taking on some of the joy and brightness of the dream. So is that something you will do?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. And finally, one thing we like to do for temporary closure on a dream sharing process is to come up with a snapper, a one-liner, a catchphrase, a bumper sticker, something that holds the dream. It might even be something that you would have engraved on your ring if you have it made, unless you really want the word Whitman. I think I would want a phrase that I have found that carries some of the magic. Is there a phrase that comes to your mind that just carries some of the magic from this dream?
Let me think on that. What is a phrase that is associated with the ring in The Lord of the Rings? What is that again?
Well, I wouldn't take that because I don't. I'm thinking about that and I'm sort of shying away from it because I don't want to take on all the stuff that goes with that ring.
Oh,
Gollum and Sauron and all the rest of it. I don't want that sort of mythic drung from the dream. I think, I mean, if it's okay for me to make a suggestion, at the end of the day, the only phrase that matters is your own. But my thoughts are beginning to circle around something like, I make my own ring of power. I mean, something along those lines. You know, I make the ring, I create the ring. Something that asserts in some way the fact that this is my ring of power. I found my ring of power, but I don't want to take on Sauron and the Golem and all of that.
Certainly.
Thank you, Carolyn, for sharing the dream. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk to folks about what we did. Because not everybody is familiar with the Lightning Dreamwork process. If you want more guidance on this, the place to go is either to one of the virtual trainings that Carolyn also is now offering, or like my training for the Shift Network, or to go to the books and audiovisual products in which I explain and demonstrate the Lightning Dreamwork. It's probably the most important single technique that I've contributed to our modern dreamwork. It has four steps. And the books in which you'll find a detailed description are The Three Only Things and also my book, Active Dreaming. The four steps is a four-move game, a game with four moves. Move one is, if you're playing the role of friend or guide, is to get the person who's getting ready to tell a dream to tell it as simply and clearly as possible. There's great gift in learning to tell our stories simply and clearly in a way that others will want to hear them. So the first step is to get the story. A story wants to have a title, so get a title for the dream. We did that with Carolyn. Step two is ask a few essential questions. So in my mind, there are three essential questions. In practice, you smuggle in some subsidiary questions, but three big basic questions. Number one, always the same in discussing any kind of experience. What are your feelings around this in relation to a dream? What are your first feelings after the dream? People will sometimes shy away from answering that directly. They go off into head games and tell you their thoughts. We want to know the first feelings, including what you feel in your gut after the dream. The first feelings are great guidance on where to go with the dream. Number two, we want to do the reality check, which means asking what the dreamer recognizes in the rest of her life. From this dream, and also could any part of it play out in the future, literally or symbolically. And the third of these as basic questions is, what do you want to know? If the dreamer set an intention before the dream, as Carolyn did, the game becomes to link the dream to the intention, even if the link is initially obscure. We move on to the third move in the Lightning Dreamwork game. It's to say to the dreamer, if you are the friend or guide, if this were my dream, if this were my experience, here are things I would think about. You can say anything you like, but you want to own your own projections and associations and not try to tell the dreamer what it means. The fourth step, the final move in the game, is to get an action plan. Dreams require action. Carolyn came up with some great actions. Make the dream talisman, tell the dream to the mother and share the energy and other things. And for temporary closure, you can come up with that action phrase, that snapper, that bumper sticker. All right, we need to take a break. After the break, we'll be back with Carolyn McKinley to talk more about bringing joy and juice into life through active dreaming.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. My wonderful, lively guest today is Carolyn McKinley, a teacher of active dreaming, counselor, family therapist. We'll find out how to contact her as we go along. We've been engaged in just having some fun doing the Lightning Dreamwork technique. Once again, if you don't know the technique, you can read about it in a couple of my books, The Three Only Things, or active dreaming. You can see it demonstrated in my video series, The Way of the Dreamer. And you can learn about it, of course, by coming to live workshops and play shops and virtual trainings. You'll get details of all of this on my website, mossdreams.com. And if you go to the Regional Dream Teachers page, you'll get some information on how to contact Carolyn McKinley. Carolyn, I'm going to ask you to be my dream friend and help, and I'm going to share a really short dream report from last night because we like fresh stuff. Would that be okay with you?
Absolutely.
So I want you to guide me through the steps. And okay. Take over. You're in charge.
Okay. So, Robert, I would love for you to tell me the dream. Keep it short and succinct, and then give it a title, kind of like a book or a movie.
Okay, well, that's a good question. Let's call it A Suitcase Full of Shoes. How's that?
Okay.
All right, so in the dream, I have moved out of a ritzy hotel to some other fairly upscale place. The whole scene of the dream is pretty ritzy, and the concierge at the hotel has said he'll take care of packing and shipping things to me, and I'm in the new space getting ready for some event, like a gathering. And I'm dressing much more formally than I normally do. It's not a suit, but I'm wearing a really most beautiful custom sports jacket and tailored slacks and vest. And anyway, I'm dressing up very nicely. And I need shoes to go with the outfit. I mean, I'm wearing my sort of regular, rather scuffed, comfortable shoes. So I go to the suitcase to get some shoes. The suitcase has clothes, but it has a lot of shoes in it. And on the left side of the suitcase, there is a beautiful blue shoe. It's the style that most people would call Oxford. It's wingtip. It's got those perforations. It's clearly handmade, or at least very beautifully fitted. And, okay, I'm thinking, great, this will actually coordinate with the blue-gray sports jacket very well. But where's the partner for the shoe? I start looking through. There are all sorts of shoes in the suitcase. There are women's shoes, a couple of pairs of women's shoes, maybe more than two pairs. There's a pair of nice black patent leather kind of men's shoes, dress men's shoes. Nope, on the far side of the suitcase I find a shoe that is similar in style to the blue one, but it's black and the perforations are slightly different. So my blue shoe is beautiful but doesn't have a partner. I think, okay, this is all right. I'll put on the shoes I was wearing before. They're comfortable, a little bit scuffed, but nobody's going to pay attention. I'll be good to go. So this is the dream.
Wonderful. Okay, so how did you feel when you woke up?
I felt curious. I felt cheerful. I had no sense of loss or despair. I felt, I would say, curious and cheerful.
Okay, and do you recognize any elements of your dream in your waking life? Have you stayed at that hotel? Do you own those clothes and those shoes?
Well, I guess I used to wear clothes like that a long time ago, and when I was sort of making the transition from wearing the power suits, I used to think I had to wear it at an earlier stage in my life to get towards wearing the jeans and informal stuff I wear all the time. Now, somewhere in between, wearing sort of very beautiful, smart, casual clothes like that, I don't know how long it's been since I've worn this kind of shoe, these wingtips, Oxford-type, Blucher-type shoes. I don't have any right now. I think if I do, they're under dust and cobwebs somewhere. So I don't dress like this today. I don't think I have ever worn blue shoes. There's no sense of this being a blue phase in the sense of sad or down. These are jaunty, fun, high fashion shoes. I mean, I might wear them if I came across a pair like that, actually, but I don't think I've ever worn shoes like that. There's one detail I left out. You're familiar with this. Dreamers ask questions and things start coming up. The shoes I'm looking for are not lost. The concierge has packed things in two suitcases, but I've only taken delivery of one of the suitcases so far. The other stuff is going to turn up. I know that in the dream. I don't know any concierge like this. They probably exist, but I don't frankly spend the kind of money at the kind of hotels where I get that kind of service.
Okay. So, and what color blue?
Well, it's a deep blue. I mean, it's not midnight blue. It's a bit, sort of say, cobalt blue, that kind of blue, a deep cobalt kind of blue.
Okay. And so could any part of this dream then really play out in your future?
Well, you know, I was about to say that in literal terms, it's unlikely that this would play out, but I'm already beginning to reconsider. If I saw a pair of shoes like these blue wingtips. You know, I might just splurge and get them because, I mean, they're so fun if they actually fitted me. It's such a beautiful shoe. I'm not a shoe guy. I go around in scuffed pull-up boots or black sneakers all the time. But, you know, I might conceivably get those shoes. And the men's black shoes in the suitcase actually do resemble a pair of shoes I got the other day. They're just Rockport walking chukka boot type shoes, but they do look much fancier and smarter than the price tag would suggest. I've got those women's shoes in the suitcase. I don't normally travel around, whatever my circumstances, I don't normally travel around with the woman's stuff mixed up with my own, but that seems unlikely, but hey, you never know.
So, what would you like to know about this dream?
I'm very curious about the blue shoe. I'm very curious about the blue shoe and the fact that it's missing its partner, at least temporarily. I mean, that's interesting to me. I'd like to know about the two suitcases. I mean, what does that represent? As I say, there's not a sense of loss, but there's a sense of delay, of a pause. I don't travel with two suitcases of this kind. I guess I might do that if I were traveling with a partner and our bags are mixed up together. But I'm curious about the one blue shoe that's missing its partner, and I'm curious about the fact that... I'm also curious about the fact that I have allowed someone else to do my packing. I don't remember when I've ever allowed anyone outside, close family or friends, to have any part in my packing. Most unlikely I would allow some hotel employee to take charge of this. So I'm curious about the fact that I've allowed someone who is not an intimate member of my family to do my packing for me.
Okay. So we're going to play the If It Were My Dream game now. And so I'll offer up what comes to mind when I hear your dream. And I'm really fascinated by this dream. This is a really juicy one for me because, well, I love luxury hotels and concierge.
Okay, I'm glad I picked the right locale for you, Carolyn.
I would love for people to pack for me. That would be awesome. But what's curious about your dream is there's this sort of motif or theme of twos.
Yeah.
Two bags, two shoes, and then there's you and the concierge. So if this were my dream, I'm thinking about how things arrive in twos or partnerships that might be coming my way where I can kind of let go and allow the other missing half to join me.
Mm.
And the image of blue shoes, well, of course, I don't know why, but it's... blue suede shoes, you know, Elvis Presley. And you're talking about being dressed in a more stylish attire than you normally wear. So I'm thinking about, is this a time of my life where I'm stepping out in style? And I'm leaving a former way of, I'm going from some place to another. I don't know where that was. I might dream this dream forward a little bit. I might go do some dream reentry here to find out more details about where I'm moving to.
Mm.
Then the fact that I know it's there. So what would you like to do to honor this dream and what sort of things come up for you is?
Well, first of all, all of that resonates with me very strongly, thank you. I mean, that's all on the money, and including the fact that, you know, that there's half of a situation that's presented itself or manifested, and the rest will come. There's no need to fuss or fret about that. You know, I'm thinking maybe I need to be open to getting some of the clothes in the dream. I'll be alert to the blue shoes turning up. They're not blue suede shoes. Blue suede shoes would be cool, but they are the style that is usually called Oxford. Actually, I think technically these are derby or blucher shoes, just slightly looser than Oxford. I would be open to those shoes turning up. I would be open to buying that sports jacket if I see it. But I think the key thing is that I'm going to go on thinking about how to bring together two different aspects of myself, two different aspects of my creative life and imagination. And we can talk a little bit more about that if we want to after the break. So for now, let's just bring it to temporary closure because we have to take a break. And I guess you're about to ask me what my bumper sticker or snapper might be, right?
Yes.
I think my snap will be, I'll find the partner for the blue shoe. I think that's a sort of action phrase, isn't it? I'll find the partner for the blue shoe. That's my action phrase for now. Sorry I have to sort of round it off rather abruptly. We've got to take a break. After the break, we'll come back talking to our wonderful dream teacher, Carolyn McKinley, about how to bring joy and juice into our lives through active dreaming.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mouse. Our fabulous guest today is Carolyn McKinley, one of our teachers of active dreaming. Carolyn, people will be looking for you. How do they find you if they'd like to engage you as a mentor?
Well, I'm finally entering the digital age, putting up a website, so even though it's not completely done yet, you can go to CarolynMcKinley.com, and I also have a second website called Alchemy of Living, that's A-L-C-H-E-M-Y of Living.com, and get on my email list so I can send you updates when it goes live, and I'll also be posting lots of ways you can work with active dreaming and other tools, as well as working with me individually or through my online classes and my workshops.
Yeah, okay, you spelled alchemy or alchemical, but you didn't spell your own first name, which is going to be more muddling to people. It's with a K, K-A-R-O-L-Y-N. But go to my website, mastdreams.com, go to the regional Dream Teachers page, and you'll find Carolyn's coordinate and the correct spelling of her name, and you could take off from there. All right, thank you very much for playing my guide and dream friend with my own dream of the shoes last night. That was such fun, and you sparked so many thoughts. We continued our discussion during the break. I was thinking about the duality of life, how we might like to leave two parallel lives, and how maybe we can, at least in the imagination, and maybe that we don't have to be divided. So it sparked all sorts of juicy thoughts. And people listening to our conversations, both about my dream and now and about Carolyn's earlier, will already know what active dreamers get to know very well. This is fun. Talking about our stories in this way gives juice, gives joy, gives clarity, gives focus. It leads to all sorts of cool things. When you start your day like this, if you're fortunate enough to have a friend who will play the game by these rules and will listen to your stories and will tell their own, you'll find you become a shaman of the breakfast table. I mean, things come alive and you've got an energy blast for the day that goes beyond any vitamins or power drink you're going to take or any amount of caffeine. It gets you going. You feel that. So, Carolyn, you're a teacher of active dreaming. You've entered the digital age. You've also done some wonderful work counseling and helping people both in your sessions as a therapist and privately engaging with people all over the place. Tell us some of your experiences of what happens when people start learning about how to dream our way, how to do more with their dreams, how to walk and talk their dreams. What are some of the things that you have learned, some of the things you've enjoyed as you've worked and played with other people's dreams and experiences?
Well, what I love about these tools, in particular working with dreams and active dreaming techniques, is it breaks you out of your box, your story of how it is. You know, most people live their life like they're watching a movie. They're not realizing they've written the script, they've cast the characters, and they're directing the show. So they think it's all happening to them somehow, like they're just sitting in the seats watching it go by with little more control or decision making than would you like a Coke with your popcorn, you know? So I like to create ways and tools and questions that create new plot lines and little twists in the story, because instead of just acting like you're some damsel in distress waiting for Prince Charming to come whisk you away, what other characters would you like to try on? You can find those in your dreams, like your dream of, you know, this double life. Recently I came up with a game the other day, which I call Archetype for the Day. Kind of like the show Queen for a Day. You remember that one?
Archetype for the Day is great. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Well, in that game, instead of reacting to life like you normally do, you can kind of slip into a role of a major archetypal figure, which, by the way, is a lot of what movie characters are based on, and that's why they're so universally engaging. So yesterday it was really crazy. There was so much obstructive energy in my life going on, and I was like, what is this? Instead of getting bent out of shape, though, I decided, well, what archetype would I be? So I decided I would play the Holy Fool. And I just asked myself, well, WWFD instead of WTF. It's like, what would the fool do? And what would the fool do is, you see, the gift of the fool is he has this incredible ability to stay in the present moment without a story. He's neutral, he's natural, he's open to fresh perspective, and he's willing to risk it all for the journey. So embodying the fool kind of helped me just laugh at myself and everything that was going on and not to take it all so dang seriously. So that's one fun game that I like. I like to ask a lot of questions that open up other possibilities, too. And we played, I've played some of those questions out, like how to be better than this. And also I...
Well, apart from that one, this is so rich. We don't want people to miss a beat. this question, and I know that you like playing this game, and I was very impressed when I first heard about how you were playing it. So once again, what is that thing that you say?
Well, it can be any version of how to get better than this,
okay.
What else is possible, anything that opens you up to a new, fresh perspective.
Okay, well, imagine that you are guiding anybody listening right now. Give them the version of the question that you most like. Just say it slowly, and then afterwards tell us what changes come about, changes in attitude, changes in experience come about after you ask that question. So give us a question as you're inviting people to put themselves on any day in the midst of their own lives.
My favorite one actually is, what else is possible?
Say it again?
What else is possible?
What else is possible here? Or what more is possible?
Or what more is possible is even better, yes.
You haven't done it yet, Carol. I want you just to put the question as if everybody is listening for this question and going to apply it to themselves. So just give us the question slowly.
What more is possible here?
Yeah, I wanted the silence because I wanted to take it into myself and let it begin to stir, fizz, bubble, simmer, marinate. It's really good stuff. It's really good for us to take these moments to invite ourselves to look at things in a different way. Hopefully a positive way, but not in that silly New Age, canned affirmation way that doesn't work. When we put it as a question, we're in a sense inviting more of ourselves to come and play with us. What more is possible here? Or how can it get better than this? So I love it. I have to slow you down because, Carolyn, you and I both love to talk. You don't talk quite as fast as I do, thank goodness, but we both talk a lot. But I think for a statement like that, we have to slow down because it's such good stuff and let people take it into themselves. So we're going to take a break, but during the break, anybody listening in, dwell on Carolyn's question in whichever version you like best. What more is possible here? Or what else is possible here? Or how can it get any better than this? How can it get any better than this? All right, we'll be back with those questions dwelling in us and around us after the break. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mullen.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest today is Carolyn McKinley, teacher of active dreaming, therapist, imagineer, somebody who asks interesting questions about life and leads us to stand back, look at our lives a different way, ask whether we are living the right story. Are we in the right movie? What other roles would we like to be in? What other life movies might we wish to star in? So you gave us some rich food for thought and beyond food for thought, incitement to action, Carolyn, in the last segment. Where would you like to go now? Let me turn it to you for a moment as you think about the ways that you stir people up to think about life possibilities using active dreaming and other techniques. What more would you like to tell us about how you approach people and work with people?
Well, you know, to me, life is not so much one of learning lessons, but it's a real juicy experiment. And if we take it any other way, we really, really miss out on some wonderful options and choices to live our life. And you know, and I know, that life is much, much juicier when you open up to the energy of synchronicity and coincidence. And there are several fun active dreaming games that invite more of that energy into play. And not only just to know that we're on path, but just for the fun of it, in which case the universe will often just come along and tap us on the shoulder and give us that little secret handshake. And to me, that's really exciting. So one of my favorites is playing the coincidence card game, which you introduced me to in your dream workshop, where we all write down a few sentences describing a dream image, an incident from the day, reflection, favorite quote on one side of the card, then those are collected and shuffled, and then each person in the circle puts a question to the universe, something that they would like guidance on or assistance, and then they pick a card from the deck and receive their answer, and it's always spot on. And I don't know, I know you carry your deck with you from workshop to workshop, and I also find mine stuck in books and journals and whatnot, and even, you know, just at the right time, if I open up the journal and they fall out, it's usually answering a question, right?
Yeah, I like them falling out of the journal, too. By the way, for those listening in, if you're not familiar with the game, you'll find the rules for it in my book, The Three Only Things. It's a game I invented, inspired by a dream. I'd asked my dreams for a new game to play in my workshops. My dreams gave me the coincidence card game. We play it in several versions. You can also play it on your own, you know. I mean, that involves collecting one-liners over a period of time and making a deck out of them and shuffling it and drawing a card at random. I won't try to explain in detail how you might do that right now. But I will say, as I'm talking to Carolyn, I have a box. It's an old, it's a beautiful old box. It looks like a very secret and magical treasure box. It's actually an old cigar box, which has in it stacks of coincidence cards, both ones written by other people in my workshops over the years, and one-liners of my own. The one-liners I've derived from doing that bumper sticker practice at the end of dream work, you know, write your one-liner on the basis of a dream, quotes that I've pulled out of books, etc. Not all of the cards that I've collected are in the box, however, because like Carolyn, I like the sort of the randomness, the objective chance, the surrealists would say, the objective chance, what seems to be chance but has a deeper logic, of a card falling out of an old journal or something like that and giving me a message. So those are games to play, the games to play in which you, you know, focus your intention to get a message from the world or just be open to what the world gives you. Yes, I couldn't agree with you more, Carolyn. I mean, I live by synchronicity, I live by coincidence. I think it is the third state between sleep and awake, or between the sleep of waking life and the awakeness of dreams. There's a field in between. There is a rich field of synchronicity, which means being alert to when the universe gets personal and speaks to us in ways that seem personal. And the ways that it speaks can be large or small. But, you know, when it's interesting, when it's important, you know, because your body tells you, you get a little shiver of recognition, you get the sense that someone is patting you on the back or pushing you back. We all know this experience, and certainly encouraging each other to pay more attention to signs, symbols, and synchronicity in the world around us is a way of becoming a conscious or active dreamer 24/7. Do you have a personal story about synchronicity that was important to you or just fun for you?
Oh, I've got a gazillion. One that was really profound, though, was a couple years ago, which, and by the way, another favorite is asking for help from the shelf elf. This is where you pose a question or just ask for general guidance and see what book catches your eye, flirts with you, and then opening it up randomly to a passage that offers up guidance. I also do this with oracle cards, and I have several decks. And usually I just get a number now just pops into my head, giving me guidance about whatever it is that I have a question. But and I've learned to trust that. But several years ago, my son was going in for some exploratory surgery for a potentially serious heart condition, and I was, as any mom would be, extremely worried about diagnosis and outcome, and I was nudged quite strongly to go to my local spiritual bookstore and check out some new oracle cards. They were the Doreen Virtue Angel Healing cards. And so as I was walking up to the store, I heard the number 12 in my head and also choose a random card when you get there. So that's what I did. Went to the demo box, and the first card, which was card number 12, was Have Faith, which was wonderful, of course, because it was about staying positive and believing in miracles. But the second random card, it just gave me chills when I pulled it, because it was the card called Divine Intervention.
Mm.
And it had a picture of a young man in a hospital bed hooked up to the IV undergoing surgery at a hospital, and this giant wiggling angel hovering over his bed. I mean, really, could it be any more obvious than that, what the message was? So that really, really helped me calm down and just trust the guidance that was giving me. And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what happened.
Mm.
Because that potentially lethal condition, and really, as they were literally wheeling him into operating, not sure what they would find, it miraculously, they had the diagnosis be something that was the scary kind, but it miraculously changed to something that was 98% curable.
Mm.
And so they performed the surgery, it was done, and it was amazing. So there was my divine intervention,
yes.
Miracle story.
What a blessing. What a gift. Wonderful. Mm. Moving story, Carolyn. Thank you so much. All right. We have to pause again. We'll be back very briefly, basically, to say thank you and sweet dreams after the break. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mouse.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We have had an absolutely wonderful time today talking to Carolyn McKinley about dreams, synchronicity, and bringing joy and juice into the world by these techniques. Carolyn, you are an absolutely wonderful guest. I'll have to get you back to talk about other things that raise our passions, like living consciously in the multidimensional universe, parallel lives, and all of that. So I thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Robert, and all the listeners out there. I just invite and would ask the listeners, just develop a creative vision for your life that's really powerful enough to make it interesting. Enough of this humdrum, same old, same old. You need to grow a vision that's going to carry you beyond the day-to-day or adversities that you encounter, so you can just really open up to fresh ways of being and pathways to experience, you know, the real juice of life that's available to you if you choose it.
All right, so let's envision it and then we can do it. Thanks so much to Carolyn McKinley. You can find her if you go to the Regional Dream Teachers page at my website, mossdream.com, and we'll post links to her own websites, one of which is called alchemyofliving.com. So, from here until next time, may your best dreams come true and may you remember them.